You don't have some of the background that used to go out, talk to people. Calm down. All good. All good. Anybody out there? Fine. So we were dealing with that terrible story. Rahman al-Tan, the child that drowned. And let's just get the klalim again. Let's get the Gemara clear and get the klalim again clear. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Tana de Beir Bishmol, kol yifol hanoifol mimen. Whoever fell from the roof, but it uses a fat song that you didn't build a railing around your roof, and somebody fell from your roof, it says, ki yifol hanoifol. The faller had fallen. The person who fell had fallen. It's a bit of a funny lotion, a bit of a strange grammar there. And the Gemara says, Roize lipol misheishes me breishes. This guy was destined to fall off that roof already from when he was created. That doesn't mean dafka from sheishes me breishes. It means it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu had given that zayra. Shreya non nafel a kosuv koronayfel. It doesn't say he fell, it said he had fallen. It's in the past tense. Ella, so what's going on here? Shemagal bin schus eledei zakai v'choy v'eledei chai. That's this. That's the Gemara. That's the Yesod. A Kodesh Baruch Hu rolls onto somebody who's meritorious, a merit, and somebody who's chayev, chiyuv. What did we say happened here? Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that this person had to fall off a roof. Kodesh Baruch Hu saw that this person wasn't going to build a micah, so he was chayev. So Kodesh Baruch Hu brought this person to his roof and he fell off his roof. But it wasn't because he didn't build a micah that this guy fell off the roof. Cause money does tshuva. Until he does tshuva, the Torah takes those parallel lines. Did we go yesterday? You've heard this a few times. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes parallel lines that can never touch and he makes them touch. How that works, we don't know, but that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu does. You do tshuva, the parallel lines go back to being parallel lines again. And someone's drowning in the river, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Losam Adam Recha, don't stand by the blood of your friend. Even if you knew 100% sure, a bus call came out, Hashem told you, do whatever you want, this guy's going to drown. If you didn't jump in and save him, you're a murderer. Because we have to do what we have to do. The consequences and what happens afterwards, that's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. But if you didn't do what you had to do, Hashem attributes it to you. That's a much more complicated sugya, which we said we'll do afterwards. We'll do a revision of the first volume, the end of the first volume. There's a chapter there called Hamishpat that tries to show how that works. So that meditation we'll do again. We'll come back to that problem. So how did he use these principles to explain to these parents who were devastated because they left the gate to the pool open and the kid fell in the pool? Azoy on Reish Nun Aleph. Dvarim Eilu Dibatim Zuga Hayrim Shebonam Tova Bericha. This I explained. You ever met Ruch Tava when he was in South Africa? You never met him in Israel. He's come to South Africa often. He started the first koilel in Osama. He came to South Africa.
In Cape Town.
There's no Torah in Cape Town. That was a klala from the Ponovitcherov. Not a klala. The Ponovitcherov said Cape Town's too beautiful for Torah to ever take root there. And it was true. It was always sprinklings in a tribe. The team of that built Osama in Johannesburg, which is the biggest Kiruv revolution in the world. Was a model. People used to come to learn that they sent the same team to Cape Town and they didn't do anything. Schuppel was there and Abramson was there. They were, yeah. Danny Brecht's the last one. I think he's the last, the last of the Mohicans. Okay. But I'm saying it never took off up in Johannesburg because must be the only place in the world where they have a minion on Sunday morning on the beach called the Surfer's Minion. Now you trying to cure of it? No chance. Okay. Anyway, fine. That's not our story. But anyway, so why were we bringing that up? No. I was asking you about Rutabas. Yeah. So he came to South Africa and he said the cure is getting bigger and bigger, but there's no failure. So he started a failure with William Kirsch. Anyway, so and that failure still goes today. So Azoy. So he said to them like this. He explained to them this whole story. He said like this. Your child was destined to drown at a certain place at a certain time, and dafka drowning. Kaira Doris Miroi, Shakorish Bohu understands what's going to happen all before. the Kodesh Baruch Hu knew that you were going to be negligent in the closing of the gate. That, by the way, doesn't change anything. It's too big for us to enter into that sugya now, but just take it as a given for now, that doesn't take away your bechira. They had bechira. That's a sugya we touched on yesterday, a little bit, I'm not going there, of Hashem's foreknowledge and our free will. How do you have free will if Hashem knows what you were going to do before you did it? That Rishonim, Machreinim have dealt with that at length. If you want to go into it, Rabbi Tetzer said there's a book which is well worthwhile looking at. And there he discusses in English, translated into Hebrew if you wanted today. There he discusses Yedir and Bechira beautifully, but the Rambam, the Rive, all the Rishonim discuss this problem. Because if Hashem is Yedir and you don't have Bechira, then we can go home. If we don't have Bechira, there's no point in being. The only reason we're here is because we have Bechira. If you don't have Bechira, there's no point in being here, and there's a lot of challenges to Bechira. Not so posh to, that's why most of the world denies that we have Bechira, because logically it's impossible to understand. Okay, so they were negligent and Ochaev for not having closed the gate, but they're not closing the gate, it's not what caused the death, because that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew was going to happen and set it all up. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took this chiyuv and rolled it onto your door. The minute you do tshuva, which is always available, no matter what you did, don't think for 1 second that you killed this child. I told you right at the beginning, there's not an easy thing to do. Philosophically, intellectually, it's not hard to understand. As long as you know what you can understand, what you can't understand. What you can't understand, can't understand. But what we can understand, we understand. To live like that and to internalize it's not so possible. So that's your next mission, Eli, should you choose to accept it, is, and I'm not self-destructing 15 seconds either, so I'm going to keep an eye on you, is as an apprentice, Baal Batochen, is to try and internalize some of these things in the little areas. Like we say, we never start with the big things, start with the little things. You made a little mistake and then something happened for it. Try and see if you can tease them apart and understand them and see them. Okay. Well, that's the end of that big, big principle, yeah. And but in practice, it's more odd, more kashe to live like this. Very hard. Okay. Hadvarim shehus bornu li'il nechoinim lo rak klape misa gashmis el af b'seichel should be b'tishul ruchu, no? Kishalot ruchu, no? So remember, we're talking about kids, yeah? We're talking about chinuch, we're talking about children, children that are having problems. When a child starts wobbling and going down in the areas of spirituality, this is an nisayon from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the first thing. Hashem rolled this child into your house because this is the best place for this child. And this is not your child, this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's child. You're just a foster parent. We'll see. Let's say this child's not yours. Yeah. He's the next door neighbor's child, and the, whatever, Ravacha or the rabbi asked you please to look after the child because the house is a bit dysfunctional or whatever, and they need to take care of this child. Would you do it? Valdik, wonderful. Big honor. So you adopt the child, you foster the child, he's in your house. Okay? You wouldn't be embarrassed to deal with this child's problem. In public, to go with him, to deal with him, you wouldn't be embarrassed. Because why? It's not your child. In fact, you're very proud. You took someone else's child and you give him all this treatment and you're not taking care of him. But when it's your own child, if you're half honest with yourself, there's an embarrassment. There's a busha that my child's got this problem, that problem, and people think there's something wrong with me, and blah, 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 blah. It's a big problem. When your kid doesn't come to daven, I'm just using an example. I'm not saying your kids have to go to daven. I'm just saying, When your kid doesn't come to davening and all your friends' kids are in davening and your kid's playing outside and making a noise, it's embarrassing. Embarrassing. But if it's not your child, it's the next door neighbor's child that you're fostering, you don't feel embarrassed because everyone thinks, well, they cost us a tzaddik. I think mama should adopt a child. He's living off to someone who's holding. You know, a big tzaddik. Yeah. You have to make a decision whether your child's supposed to be in davening or not. If he's supposed to be in davening, work out how to get him there. If he's not supposed to be in davening, be proud by the fact that he's playing outside because that's where he's supposed to be. He's not supposed to be inside of davening if that's not what's right for him right now. But what's the embarrassment? He isn't really your child. He's not your child. He's a Kodesh Bochu's child. And everything that's happening to this child is God designed because that's what his neshama needs. You have to do your best to provide this child in the world of Ishtadlis, an effort. You have to provide whatever the child needs. You have to do it responsibly. You have to take care of him properly. But the difficulties and the nishayness and everything he's going through, it's not none of your business. And all the feelings of guilt and of embarrassment or whatever are taking a problem that's difficult enough and making it much worse unnecessarily. And what it also does is, it takes away from the parent the ability to give him the proper treatment that he really needs. Let him crave this. Instead of dealing with the actual problem, they're too busy using up all the energy dealing with the embarrassment and the whatever that this child is causing them. That's got to be taken care of. The Lom Jomashgiach, Rav Yaakov Naaman, once walked into the office of the Lom Jomashgiach, Rose and Black or something, Rosachim. And he was talking to a kid. Rav Yaakov Naaman didn't recognize the child. So afterwards, he asked the Mashgiach, Who is that? They said to him, "It's a Bnei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's son." They looked a bit funny. I know them, but I asked you who he is. Mashgiach said, "If I told you that he was Yankel or Ploini, you would have been surprised. So why are you surprised if I'm telling you that he's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's child? Who do you think he is? Whose child do you think he is?" And then he said, if the teachers, the rabbis, the morris, whatever, in the schools would know that the children sitting in front of them were Kodesh Baruch Hu's children, they would behave better in the class. Not the children, the teachers. Well, if the king's son was sitting in your class, you think twice before you lose it or do whatever you do. Yeah, it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's children that you teach. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu's children that are living in your house, that are causing all the problems and giving you nightmares and gray hairs, that's all the Kodesh Baruch Hu's children. And by the way, they were given to you because it's what your neshama needs as well. It's perfect. Person has to go over this and over this and internalize it. When you recognize that you were asked, please, to foster this child of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he chose you to be his agents here. Was it an accident that this child landed up in your Dalai Lamas? In order to help this child to deal with the enormous difficult challenges that the children today are growing up with. Hard for us, anybody over the age of 40, even if you're over 50 today, you're going to have a hard time understanding what the kids today have to face and deal with. Terrible disorders that we never had. We knew what we knew. I knew what I saw and I knew what I knew. Maybe what I heard on the radio. Even that was very remote. So many challenges did you have? The kids today, the whole world is open to them. The whole world is wide open to them and it's seducing them, sucking them in. Physically, spiritually, philosophically, I'm just bashing them. When you know that you were given a mission, you were given a job, then with Siyata Dishmaya, a person can find the correct way to help this child. You can find ways with patience, with understanding, with calmness, you can find pathways into this child's heart in order to bring him back. Okay, there's a few things that we have to learn. We have to learn patience. We have to learn Imuna and Betachen. We have to recognize it's all from Hashem. And we have to try and get ourselves out of the way a little bit. Okay? My Friday. Why? Why, it's too long? I don't know, just trust Friday, because today's Wednesday. So tomorrow's too soon. You can't also got to change his whole life in one day. You didn't change. You don't, he doesn't even know what we, so he's British. He doesn't know what change is about. You know what we're talking about. You're not allowed to change. You don't do, somebody's American, they change all the time. You can't keep track of it. You're British. Change is like not a simple thing in you. Thou shalt not change. No, that's the British motto. Two of them, yeah, better be careful. I'm a bit outnumbered. No, but there's another South African, yeah. So yeah. Oh, like I said, he's British. That's right. Yeah. Excellent question.
This is about to get so much worse. All like metaverse. I don't know if you ever.
What?
In the next 10 years, whatever has happened in the last 10 years, it's going to exponentially, it's going to get so much worse. It's going to
keep people. Maybe it'll get better.
Living virtually and have no concept of reality. Okay. Technology is going to meet up with it.
First of all, we don't know that, but okay. Assuming you, let's say you're right.
That's all clear.
I don't know, whatever. Kosh Boku runs the world, not them. I live day by day.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are we going to deal with that?
Who's we?
Our community. Can we deal with technology now?
Don't change.
If you go through Jewish history, I'm not even answering a question. I just want to get rid of it as quickly as possible. I don't want to go there. But if you look at Jewish history, you'll see that there's always been a challenge. In Achinam, it's more intense and it's more frightening, because as you get closer and closer to the end, it's going to get more and more intense. It's going to get darker and darker before the light starts, it gets darker and darker. And Chazal have predicted, we know what's going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse. But if you go through Jewish history, you look at just before the Churban by Sheni, same thing was going on. If you look at the Haskalah, you look at the period just before the Second World War, between the two world wars, you have a look there. It's actually worse there. There was nothing left. Nothing. There was almost nothing left of Yiddish. Nothing. The scholar burnt a... Rabbi Aaron Kotler was on his way to university. He was on the train going to university. That's how strong it was.
Wow.
I'm just saying, you have to understand the terrible Nisoinus. Today, we've never had a Nisoinus. But it's a different kind of Nisoinus. That's what makes it so hard. The nishayness of the previous generations were usually in the physical, in the philosophical, in the seichel b'keil. There were religions challenging Judaism. There were isms challenging Judaism. Today there's nothing challenging. Nothing challenging. You're just getting hit. Getting hit. I think I mentioned once from Yossi Elephant, the war that Yaakov had faith in. We started late, so okay, I'll finish a bit late. Anybody wants to go? No, the angel that had the fight with Yaakov there when Yaakov went into the river and he met the Sar of Esav, the angel of Esav, and he had the fight with him. So what was that? It was a philosophical debate. They were backing each other spiritually and physically. Yeah? They weren't punching each other. I don't need to know that Yaakov's a good boxer. You know? He's a kung fu expert and he beat Esav's kung fu trainer, whatever. That's not what this is about. They were arguing the philosophy of life, yeah? The whole arguments that were going to be all the dailies, all the philosophical arguments you're going to have with the Greeks and the Romans and the Persians and the communism and all the isms, Christianity, it was all taking place there. Now, how do you know when somebody loses a fight, an argument? He gives the other guy a punch. They argue. Eventually he realized they had nothing to do. He couldn't win. So gave him a punch. Hit him in the thigh. Because I'll tell us that was the children. That's the descendants of the term Chetorah, the supporters of Torah. But the other pshat is that it affected the children, the chinuch of the children. There's always going to be something damaging in the chinuch of the children. Okay. When did the fight end? When did this fight take place? When did it end? When did he give him the punch? Aloysa Shocha. Aloysa Shocha always means Mashiach. Aloysa Shocha is as the light's coming up. What happened? We've been through 2,000 years of Golos. We've been through every possible philosophical ism, challenge, difficulty that we could ever have experienced. Yeah? And we won them all. The Jews are still around, and they're not. They're finished. They're gone. Not too many Romans running around today. Not too many Talmidim of Aristotle running around. Yeah? And we're still all here. We became a Talmidim. That's who we are. We're all still here. So what happens? Just before Mashiach comes, you get a patch. There's nothing to argue about a patch. That's the internet. It's a makkah. It can be used properly. It can be used intelligently. There are people that are only from today because of the internet. It's such a need. Thousands of people have lost their lives, spiritually, physically, by the goyim even. I'm not talking about by Yiddish God. Become dysfunctional, unable to get to work, addiction problems, all sorts of horrific problems on the internet, okay? You have to have special police branches now just dealing with abuse on the internet. It's beyond comprehension what's going on out there. Now, you go argue with a computer, philosophy. Don't argue about it. It's just, it's a whack. So in that sense, you're right. It is much more challenging. And you're right, it's getting much, much worse. But whatever, Kodesh Baruch Hu can do what he wants. Yeshua is Hashem terrifying. Yeshua can come at any minute. But you're right, we have to learn the game. We have to know how to prepare our children for this. Chinuch used to be about trying to keep the street away from your children and away from the street. Don't keep your children in, you know, infertile soil. Today, the soil in your house is infertile. We have to give our kid, you can't. The kid's going out. You can't lock a child at home. The child's going out. He's meeting people. He's seeing people. You have to give them the tools to deal with what's going on out there. He has to have the ability, the tools to be able to deal with what is going on out there. We have to address the problems. We can't hide the problems away from our children anymore. We have to speak openly. And you have to know how to do that. We have to be able to give our children tools to deal with the problems. They're going to encounter our phones. No matter how much you daven and wish and hide your children from our phones, your kid is going to encounter our phone. I don't care if he's in the best yeshiva. I don't care if she's in the best Beis Yaakov. They're going to encounter movies. They're going to encounter philosophies. They're going to encounter apikosis. They're going to encounter all sorts of stuff out there. You can't hide them from it anymore. We're not in a ghetto anymore. It's a pity, but that's reality. The world's wide open to our kids. So how do you help them? By hiding them away, pretending it doesn't exist? That sounds like foolishness to me. We have to teach. We have to how to do this. It's not so posh. We have to find ways, and Baruch Hashem, there are people today who know how to do it. There's a yeshiva in Bnei Brak